It's time for the Picture House Podcast with your hosts, Sam and Simon. Please ensure that your mobile phone is switched off, refrain from smoking, and keep conversation to a minimum. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show!
Thank you so much for talking to us today, David.
My pleasure.
Thanks for coming back to London. We've already had you for Sundance London with a ghost story, where you did a remarkable number of talks and Q&As, and you're back.
It was that sort of was the beginning of my summer, and now I'm glad to bring it full circle back here again.
Absolutely. And now just before the UK release, which is really exciting. Way
Definitely.
Back in June, it was so far away.
Oh, yes. That was years ago, wasn't it?
In that time, the film has come out in the States.
It has.
How was the US release?
It's been fantastic. You know, we've been slowly platforming out, and this past Friday it opened on the widest number of screens yet. I think the widest it's going to be on, which was about 300 screens, which for a film like this is huge.
Yep.
And it's been really gratifying. I feel very lucky to have had the opportunity to, you know, get the movie out there to the degree that it's been out there. I've had a wonderful partner in the States with A24, and the audience's reactions have been just wonderful. I've really, really been moved by how much people enjoy this film. I mean, I really did not expect it, and it's been really wonderful.
It's remarkable how much word of mouth has come into play, and also the more like guerrilla kind of marketing.
With yes.
People dressing up as the ghosts themselves, and people recreating the recipe from the film,
it's
and people
phenomenal.
Drawing artwork from the film.
I've even seen like a couple fan films now.
Oh wow!
Of folks who have gotten bed sheets and made their own little versions of the film, and it's really wonderful to see.
How did our ghosts hold up?
Oh, really well. I mean, the great thing that A24 did was to make all those bed sheets and send them out to people. So some of them are actually using those sheets, which are not exactly the costume from the movie, but pretty close. So they hold up pretty well.
I like with the A24 ones, because A24 very kindly sent us some for our UK release. The ghost sheets have mobile phone holders. They have little pockets.
Oh, amazing. I have one myself. They sent me one, but I haven't actually put it on yet.
Well, it's got a pocket. You know, it's handy. It's useful. They've taken that into account.
Halloween is going to be so much easier this year.
It's unusual, though, because like with something which is maybe part of a large franchise and an existing property, there's a huge fan base already. But it sounds like with this, a completely original film, it's beginning to make its own fan base. It must be really exciting to be in the middle of that.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really thought about it in those terms, but it's true. I mean, on a grassroots level, I think there is like a very strong and vocal fan base for this movie. And the fact that people are wearing the costume and making these little short films and taking photographs and posting them to Instagram is exciting. I mean, it's become, you know, on a very minuscule level, a movement of sorts, and that's fantastic.
I don't know how fair you are with Reddit, but yesterday an illustration was on the front page of Reddit from our own Exeter Picture House.
That's amazing. I know I've never been to Reddit in my life. I vaguely know what it is, but I have seen that picture, and that chalk illustration is absolutely breathtaking.
It's really amazing. All of the comments below are like, this is amazing. And other people are like, the studio has placed this here. I was like, no, that was done by a member of our bar staff, and a customer has taken the picture.
Amazing.
I guess one of the reasons the film has resonated with people is because it is quite a broad theme. I think people can find their own personal experience within the film. The film doesn't say a huge amount in terms of dialogue, but it says a hell of a lot with the actions.
Yeah, I mean, it is very broad, and yet it's specific at the same time. Like, I feel like it's a movie that is meant to be taken literally at face value. There's a lot you can dig into with it and a lot you can uncover, but it is, you know, from my perspective, a very specific movie, and I love that audiences are keying into that specificity, but bringing their own perspectives to it. So it is like the best of both worlds. It's broad and very general on the one hand, but very specific on the other. And that allows people to, you know, really get into it on a personal level and to bring their own experiences and their own point of view to the table and apply it to that specificity, if that makes any sense.
I think as a member of the audience, what really struck me when I watched it a second time was kind of how hard it must have been, or at least to me anyway, to make this film which allows for the audience to feed in like this, but still tells a specific story, especially considering, you know, minimal dialogue, actually kind of minimal action, but you've created this sort of canvas which welcomes the audience and their emotions. Is that how you imagined the film would play sort of way back when you were writing it?
I mean, it plays pretty much exactly as I was intending when I wrote it, but I didn't know if the movie would be emotional or not. Mm. I knew that it would be engaging and provocative and formally sound, but I did not know if it would provoke an emotional response. And I'm so happy that it does. I'm always worried that my films will feel like they were made by a robot or someone pretending to be a human being. And because I'm a very emotional person, but I don't know if I'm ever able to communicate my emotions properly. Like I feel like I'm kind of like often grasping at straws when I'm trying to communicate what I'm feeling. And so for this movie to actually work on an emotional level and to work so deeply, you know, work even more than I intended on an emotional level, is really, really wonderful to me.
I think part of the, you know, the reason people can connect with the film is you've got two amazing actors, you know, giving amazing performances and very different from what audiences may see them do in other pictures. What was your conversations like with Rooney and Casey about this couple and their relationship?
We didn't talk that much about it. The reason that I wanted them for this film, outside of the fact that we're all friends and it made the whole process easier just to work with friends, was because I knew they had a really profound chemistry together. I knew that they could just sit on a couch next to one another and you would feel the electricity between them. Having worked with them once before, I was witness to that phenomenon, and I knew that I could capitalize on that and utilize that here. They have maybe 10 minutes of screen time together before Casey's character dies, at which point he spends the rest of the movie covered in a bedsheet. So that's not a lot of time. That's not a lot of, you know, real estate in which to establish, you know, a dynamic between two people. But I knew that they could do it. I knew that they could do it, you know, expeditiously and thoroughly and really, you know, communicate the depths to which these characters feel for one another. And I remember shooting that scene in which they're in bed together where they make out until they fall asleep and just feeling like that's all this movie needs to kick it off. Like, that could be the opening scene and we would have a completely well-realized understanding of who this couple is on that one shot alone. And there's more to it than that. The movie has, you know, that shot is two of those 10 minutes. But even in that shot, you just get a sense of them together as a couple. And it's immediate and it's electric and it's profound and it's wonderful and it's a great, you know, aid for me as a storyteller to have that at the outset. It really kind of like is a remarkable handicap. And I wanted to take advantage of it as much as I could.
Also, the unusual thing about this film is normally in cinema or in a TV show or a novel or whatever, when a character dies, that's the end for them. But this is sort of the beginning, and it's very unusual to spend the majority of a story with a character who's dead. It lets you process your grief for that character, I found. It was kind of nice to let, you know, me have 80 minutes or so to think about this couple and what a tragedy this is.
Yeah, and also to have, you know, Rooney's side seen from Casey's perspective, because normally you are with the grieving person so thoroughly, like you that's the perspective that you are attached to as an audience member, and here you're witnessing that from a different perspective, and it really is hopefully puts you in a different mindset and forces you to reconcile yourself to the eventuality of, you know, of this circumstance. It's something that we all are going to have be faced with at one point or another, and that we're all going to have to deal with. And we think about our own passing in such an abstract way as humans, at least I do. And I think about it usually in terms of, you know, my ego being diminished. And I don't really think about, you know, the fact that I won't actually be around to see, you know, maybe I will be. Who knows? No one knows what's going to happen after we die. But I presume I won't be around to see people grieving for me. And yet I imagine that I will. Like, I imagine myself at my own funeral watching my wife, you know, tearfully say farewell to me. That probably won't happen. That will be happening entirely, you know, separate from my whatever existence I'm in at that point. And so, you know, this movie presents a relatively romantic notion in terms of like the idea that you get to watch your loved ones grieve for you, but it also undercuts that sentimentality by suggesting that it's also like, if you were to do that, if you were to if you were to go on that ego trip and to you know, get to enjoy watching, you know, not enjoy, but that's a harsh way to put it, but get to participate in your own passing in that way, it would ultimately be a pretty sad form of existence. Like, because that person, you'd get to not only watch that person grieve for you and show you how much they cared about you, but then you'd have to watch them move on, because everyone ultimately will move on. And that's when things get a little dark.
Absolutely. And when you're imagining that, do you imagine it in a 1:3:3 square aspect ratio?
I don't. I don't. I think in widescreen. I think most of my memories are probably in widescreen. Maybe they're in IMAX. I should think about that now. But I felt that the 1:3:3:1 aspect ratio was appropriate for this movie, and I felt it was helpful to constrain the emotions that are on screen in that box, and hopefully audiences feel that it puts them in the right frame of mind, very literally.
Absolutely. It was a treat to see it in that beautiful aspect ratio, and I would like to see it on screen more, but I'm so glad you did with this. I think it really suits the film. Well, thank you so much for talking to us, David.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for coming back to London, doing more Q&As. The audiences are enjoying it.
I hope they continue to enjoy it, and I'm really excited for the film to come out.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You have been listening to the Picture House Podcast, a Picture House's production brought to you by Picture House Cinemas. We would like to thank everyone who works at Picture House Cinemas and everyone who has ever attended a screening of a film at a Picture House cinema. Thanks for listening, and see you next week.